Your son's on his bike. A distracted driver slams on the brakes, but too late to prevent your son's death. You cry out, "Why?" Life's race can be hard when the whys have no answer. Years can pass, and we're no closer to an answer than when our tragedies took place. A man named Job experienced great suffering, and the book that bears his name can teach us how to suffer as well. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series probing the depths of the will of God. As Job asks, "God, why me?" we find even our clergy urged to sidestep the answer.
Now, you know, there are some seminaries where they teach young men for the ministry. And then they have pastoral classes where you're taught how to marry and bury and do all those other things that we as pastors have to do. And there are schools where they will teach you this. They'll say, if a child should die of cancer, don't ever tell parents that God took their child, because they will be angry at God. What you do is you blame it all on the cancer, and you say, cancer took the child. Now, I understand the sentiment of what is going on with that kind of reasoning, but if you are a committed Christian and you believe your Bible, you know better than that. Certainly, cancer may be the immediate cause, but back behind the permission that this should happen is the will and the purpose and the plan and the providential government of God in the affairs of men. At least I hope that you believe that. Paul believed it. Jesus believed it. Job believed it. 66 books of the Bible teach it. And so I hope that you're on board on that issue. Now, the thing is that we see here a very interesting picture of how even, can you imagine me saying this in this day and age, how that even a believer is actually harassed by Satan within the parameters of God's will and purpose. Remember in the book of Revelation, it says to one of the churches that Satan shall cast some of you into the fire and into prison. I don't believe that we ever need to be controlled by Satan to do evil, but there may be at times harassment that comes to us from the enemy that is to purify us, that is to change us, that is to transform us. At least that's certainly what happened in the book of Job. Now, there's a third personality involved, and he's the one that we're worried about, and that is Job. We've talked about God. His role is one of control. Satan, his role is one of acting or implementing the suffering. And now what happens to Job? You'll notice in verse 20, Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. This is an awesome passage of Scripture. You'll notice that Job did not curse. Now, later on, you're going to see that Job is going to sink into deep, deep depression. We're going to see that in future messages. But for now, he passes the initial stage in this trial with flying colors. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there." Notice he doesn't blame it on the devil. He says, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And though Job knew God did it, the text says he did not blame God. He was not like that man that a friend of mine told about, whose house burned to the ground, and when he came home and saw that his house had burned, he was on the lawn pounding his fist into the sod and cursing the fire department and cursing God and just cursing and cursing. Job did not do that. Job worshiped and said, "The Lord gave me the children. The Lord took them away. Blessed be his most holy name." Initial trial, Job passes. What I'd like to do now is to give you four lessons that I want you to write down anywhere that you can write it down. And even, we don't normally do this, but even Well, I shouldn't say this, but I've started to say it, so I have to finish it. I was going to say, even use one of those offering envelopes you should have used 20 minutes ago for something else, if necessary. I taught this first chapter to a Sunday school class not too long ago, and I told them that I wanted them to remember these four lessons as long as they live. They might not need the lessons today. You might not need it today. But if you live long in this world, eventually you will need them. You will need them. I will need them. We will all need them. Number one, and this is shocking, when God wants to try somebody, I mean really try them, I mean really get at their heart, nothing is untouchable. Nothing is untouchable. Frankly, folks, I read this passage of Scripture and I am just, the wind seems to be taken right out of my lungs. Here God wants to try Job. He and Satan have this little discussion in heaven. And as a result of what happens, his children die. Verse 19, 10 children dead. And I look at the text and I say, well, didn't their lives mean anything? You mean to say 10 young people with a wonderful future ahead of them, with all kinds of possibilities, and God just comes along and he allows through this windstorm for them to die just because God and the devil had made a deal that they wanted to try Job? And I say to myself, this is almost unbelievable. Not unbelievable, but almost unbelievable. It almost looks as if the children were expendable. God says, I want to get at Job's heart. And if it means that I have to take his children to do it, I will do it, because we're going to determine what it is that Job is really made of. And I say, wow. And I've known people, and you have known people too, where God has zeroed in and taken from them that which was most precious. I think of the missionary with a sick baby. Every day the missionaries would pray, oh God, send rain so that the river might be able to flow and that we can get help, because that was the only means of transportation. And there is no rain. And the baby dies and they walk out of the house and torrents of rain come out of the sky. If only that rain had come a day earlier or 2 days earlier, they could have gotten help for what wasn't that difficult a medical problem. Almost as if God is saying, I want you to trust me, and I want to prove to you that I can take from you that which is most precious, because when I want to try somebody, nothing is untouchable. Nothing. When God says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice, Abraham says, okay, let's go with Ishmael. God says, I'm sorry, but because I want to really try you, Abraham, it's going to be Isaac. It's going to be the son whom you love the most. There's a second lesson that we need to learn. And that is, in every trial, that's including those that we bring upon ourselves. And as I was looking at this, I was reminded of the fact that many people are going to say, well, Pastor Lutzer, this doesn't apply to me because Job had wind and hail and the Chaldeans and the Sabaeans came, whereas my problem is self-made. Some of you have made for yourselves a nice big problem, haven't you? Well, I want you to know today that God stands as ready to help you and to comfort you in the problem that you have made as he is to help people in the problems that other people and circumstances have made for them. But number two, at stake in any trial is always the worth of God. Always the worth of God. The fundamental question always is, how much is God worth to you? You say, well, where is that in the text? Look at this. I read it quickly, deliberately, so that you wouldn't think about it too much, so that we could think about it more carefully together now. You remember when Satan and God are having this dialogue, and the Lord says, you know, Satan, you have to realize that Job is a great man, he's blameless and upright, and he fears God, and he turns away from evil. You know what Satan says, in effect, is, well, who wouldn't? Look at, he says, hast thou not made a hedge about him on every side in his house? You've given him a wonderful family. You've blessed the work of his hands. His possessions have increased in the land. You know, you've been buying him off. You've been bribing him. You've been giving him so many blessings, and the more blessings you feed him, the more he worships you, and that only makes sense. But God, if you were to take from him those blessings that you have showered upon this man with all of his money and all of his servants and his fine family that everybody in town is admiring, if you were to take all that from him, then you would see that he would curse you to his face. Don't you understand that Job is in this because it is profitable to worship God? But let it become unprofitable, and he will curse you. And that's your temptation, and that is mine. Oh, how easy it is, how really easy it is to worship God when everything is going well. When you are healthy and well, and when the family is fine, and when circumstances are good, worship comes easily. But when God does things you think that a good God should not do, and when the difficulties of life begin to break in upon your soul, and when you begin to see the pain in your life or in the life of other people, and the things that you seemingly worked your life for all taken away, then the question is God still of value to you or not? His worth is always at stake in our trials.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. The simple fact is that sometimes when we serve God, sometimes when we worship him, sometimes when we do everything that is right, as Job experienced, everything turns against us. Maybe I'm speaking to someone like that today, someone like Joseph. Joseph is willing to stand against Potiphar's wife to resist her charms and her desire to lead him into immorality. You know the story. And what does he get? Prison. That's his thanks. But oh, the blessing that comes to those who go on believing no matter what. When we get to the end of the book of Job, we'll discover that God was there to bless Job. God was there to expose his friends. God was there who wrote the last chapter. And the last chapter was so much different than the first. Could I encourage you today? When you've done everything right and things turn against you, remember God is there and the last chapter has not been written.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has wrapped up part two of God, Why Me?, the first of 8 messages exploring the meaning of suffering. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This 8-part series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about God, Why Me? Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Tomorrow, one clear reason for suffering emerges. Join us then for more from the life of Job on our next Running to Win.